This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We are continuing our Africans Rising series today, and I'd like to welcome our guest, Kumba Touré. Kumba, originally from Mali and based in Senegal, is a leading change maker in the areas of social entrepreneurship and youth educational development. Her activism includes writing children's books as tools to build a community that supports young people in creating their own learning tools and social change projects. Kumba Touré also works to develop leadership among girls and young women. She has facilitated hundreds of educational workshops around the world on gender, race, economic justice, advocacy. Kumba Touré currently works with Global Social Entrepreneurship Organization, Ashoka, serving as its representative for the Sahel region. Kumba Touré, welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be in the radio with you.
Now, Kumba, I'd like to focus. You do quite a lot of work with girls and young women. But first, I'd like you to define for us, what is social entrepreneurship?
Well, from a Ashoka point of view, we grow from the idea that wherever there are problems, there are people looking for solutions, acting on them, and inspired to make change, that we don't need to go very far from where problems and the issues are. In the main communities where those problems are, there are many people who are working. So for 30 years, Ashoka has been really proposing social entrepreneurship, looking at people who look for solutions to social problems, using an entrepreneurial mind and creative mind to find those solutions. So thousands of them are supported to the Ashoka Fellowship. But the real idea is that everyone, every single person, could be a change maker, and that together, when people come together, they could really make a difference.
Right. Okay. So basically, social entrepreneurship, what I gather then, are people working together to make change. Would that
make change.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's important to kind of spell out these terms in a language that the average person could understand. Sometimes we, you know, especially large non-governmental organizations have kind of these inside type phrases that are not necessarily known.
You're right.
Here. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? Kind of breaking down things on the grassroots level. So, Kumba Touré, before we discuss a bit more about women and girls, the work you are part of, Africans Rising, is that it? That network that's being launched?
Right. I've been nominated and invited to be an ambassador to Africans Rising, which is also a movement of Africans and African organizations on the continent and in the diaspora of people who say, you know, that we can work together for peace, for justice, and for dignity, that we will not just anymore wait for any government or businesses to make a difference, but that people can come together and make change. Of course, there are many, many organizations already working, but the idea is to connect the work and to show what is possible when we come together.
Yeah, my understanding is it is a movement also for African unity. Is that right?
Exactly. It is that Africans all over the continent and in the diaspora come together to solve the problems that they're facing.
Right. And then how do you see the work that you are doing with girls and women in the context of the broader goals of Africans Rising?
I believe that my contribution to that movement comes from the actions that I've been already taking. Many of them concerning young women and concerning women. Already on the continent, there are many, many African women rising organizing for their rights, but also organizing to make a difference in different fields, whether it's around environmental issues or economic, you know, issues. And that's on the continent, and that's in the diaspora. So to me, bringing that work, those connections to this movement, and making sure that as we come together as a Pan-African movement for peace, justice, and dignity, that the issues that women, and young women particularly, face are not put on the side, but also that the young women are seen as drivers of change and can see their own role in making the difference.
Right. Well, we certainly know in most parts of the world where there are social movements happening, and there are social movements just about happening everywhere, wherever there's oppression, we have to assume that people are, in fact, resisting in some way. And we often find that women are at the forefront of this. Now, in terms of women on the continent of Africa, Africa being the wealthiest continent, I think, in terms of minerals and natural resources in the world, but yet the most impoverished in the world. And the workload of African women on the continent is just tremendous. And a lot of that has to do with poverty, with, you know, lack of resources, lack of access. And there's also a big a division between resources that go to larger NGOs, non-governmental organizations that are supposed to be uplifting the base. We certainly see that in places like Haiti and other parts of the Americas where that actually does not happen. So then talk about your work in terms of your work specifically with women and overcoming some of these challenges, including that tremendous burden of work.
I think one part of our work, or my work, is to defy the invisibility that surrounds women in general, and of course young women in particular. When you talk about the contributions to the movement, the work that is done, you know, whether it's in the house or in the organizations or even in formal settings, it is most of the time not seen, not recognized, even though it's very it contributes to the wealth of the whole community and to the care of the whole community. So I could go into example, but really one of the celebration work that we do is called Invisible Giants Celebration, where young women can nominate and look around for women in the communities who are doing great work for those communities, making change happen, allowing, you know, young girls to go to school or helping for changes to happen in the community, making sure that work gets visible, gets celebrated, and that more young women get inspired to be engaged and do that work.
Right. And, you know, for those of us, I'm of African descent, and, you know, in the diaspora, there is a tendency to romanticize in a way, because so much of the culture of our roots in Africa have been stripped from us, that there is that tendency to romanticize in a way African culture, and really not wanting to confront some of the problems that may be there in some societies, for example, confronting sexism, misogyny, you know, homophobia, you know, domestic violence and that sort of thing. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And that needs to be faced, and we face it, and we work on it. And we are saying that, you know, patriarchy, whether this action comes from you know, actions that have been there for a long time and now are set up almost as, you know, tradition, or whether it comes from colonial traditions. What we see is many times that there are from different sources, and whether it comes from different religions, that there are different ways in which women are, you know, put in the back or the side, or just exploited or violated. That it doesn't matter where it comes from, we will fight it, and we will name it, and we will create our own, you know, traditions if needed, that respect women.
Right. And, you know, the whole thing about, you know, I know you work in the area of education, educating girls and young women, and you write children's books, you know, and more. And I'm wondering how you see the impact, and I'm, this may be more so in the countryside than in the cities, but perhaps in the cities as well, where, for example, if you have women who have to walk who knows how far, you know, to either collect wood or water, you know, for cooking, and then just, you know, that kind of basic survival work that impacts a woman's ability then to be active in her community or to be able to go to school. Or sometimes girls are taken out of school. I mean, even in my village where I grew up in, there were girls that had to leave school to be able to help out at home or help out working in the fields, just, you know, to help the family to survive. So how are you navigating that, and what are some of the things put in place to address those issues?
You are perfectly right. When people talk about poverty, you know, it needs to be broken down. And what does it actually mean? What it means most of the time at the end of the road is that there is somebody who doesn't have a choice about what they do of their time, of their life, of their physical force. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. And most of the time, it comes at the end, you know, on the shoulders of women and young women and, you know, of people who don't have, you know, the means, or people who are in the rural side, or don't have anybody connected, you know, to high level or to money. So that's really what it is about. So the fight really is about making sure that everyone has the same rights, the same opportunities, the same possibilities, and that's really how we fight poverty. That's how it should be.
Right, right. Well, there's certainly, Kumba Touré, a lot more to discuss on this topic, and I really hope that we can really, there's so much that we can't just do the Africa's Rising series in just a few segments. We are really going to have to expand on it a bit more. We're out of time now, but I do want to speak with you again and hope that you will be able to join us and continue this discussion, but also to remind our audience, and you could correct this if I'm wrong on this, Africans Rising is launching globally as a movement this African Liberation Day, is that right, which is May 25th, I understand?
Yes, mm-hmm. May 25th, all over the continent and in the diaspora, specifically on Gore Island in Dakar, in Senegal. We are launching globally. And yes, I'm happy to come back and have more of a conversation with you on education, on women, on changes that are happening on the continent.
Right. Well, we appreciate you and your work and all involved in Africans Rising. We've been partnering with Africans Rising in this series. Kumba Touré, you hail from Mali, is that right? You were raised in Mali?
Yes, from Mali, Mali, from Senegal, from, you know, the beautiful place.
Absolutely.
Where Timbuktu is, where the University of Sankore.
Yeah, well, we have to talk about all of that because so little is known about the continent. And so we thank you so very much for joining us, Kumba Touré.
Thank you.